So I had intended to, and actually did do an interview with Alicia Kuhl, who is really the star witness and perhaps the person who made the difference, although certainly Attorney Anthony Prince did too. And of course, the evidence was really also made the difference in persuading Judge Davila to postpone any judgment on the TRO until Monday, when he'll be making a judgment tomorrow on that issue. Alicia gave a really interesting series of responses and update, but unfortunately it got lost in my technical mismanagement of the situation. I apologize to folks for that. Hopefully anybody listening for the last 4 hours has gotten a sense of what's going on out there in the court and in the camp. And both from critics of the camp and supporters of the camp. And indeed, today the cleanup may still be happening. You might want to go out to the camp and take a look. You can always give me a call on the Huff line, 423-4833, though I will probably be out at the camp myself. Doing, of course, more follow-up on this on Thursday, though I suspect there'll be a lot of new stuff that's come up. There usually is too much for me to cram into these two shows, and I just often don't have the energy to put it all together. but I do what I can, and hopefully you're getting something out of this. I thought, kind of based upon my sense of the discussions that I've had with Ross Camp people and with Alicia and the plaintiffs, is that, and this is just my sense of what is wanted from the city, is the following: this is kind of a statement that I'm going to probably be putting out or something like it. We ask city officials to acknowledge openly and honestly that they do not have adequate shelter to house the Ross Camp activists for any period longer than a week, and that existing shelter provided for any longer term would involve excluding or evicting current homeless people, of whom there are between 1,000 and 2,000 in Santa Cruz, from that very limited shelter that currently exists. Because it is clear to us the city has been neither candid nor accurate in its past estimates of shelter space or its current predictions for future shelter, we ask for a specific accounting of the following: 1. Actual shelter beds or spaces available by location and number. 2. The cost to the public of these services. 3. The occupancy rate of these shelters during the last 2 months. 4. How long those shelters are funded or slated to remain open for in the next 6 months. 5. The specific requirements of those shelters for entry and occupancy. So, for instance, if they dawn to dusk or 24-hour, are they enclosed or restricted entry? Do they have search requirements? Are there storage ability? Is there access to showers and laundry? Are they available for minors? Is there disability access? Are there religious requirements? Are there curfews and so forth? If the city has additional shelter and has committed additional funds to shelter other than the shelter opportunities mentioned below, we ask them to itemize them. We want to clean the Ross Camp in place as we proposed and agreed. Actually, that's being done today and probably has been done by the time you've read this, at least to some extent, because with or without the help of Parks and Rec. Agreed to in prior conversations with Fire Chief Haddock and Assistant City Manager Susie O'Hara. We ask them to keep their word and provide assistance in personnel and equipment. We ask them to return the porta potties, which they've done, and wash stations, which they've done, ill-advisedly removed yesterday, less than half of which were returned by Friday afternoon, in spite of indications by the court that that should be done. Actually, it was indications to the court that it was done. We ask that the city provide the same humane and healthy access to potable water, that's drinkable water, that they so quickly provided to the Benchlands temporary encampment, perhaps as an inducement to get people to move over there and to continue to deny them water at Ross, but have denied Ross for the last 6 months in spite of repeated requests by Ross Camp Council liaison Alicia Kuhl. Numerous women residents at the Ross Camp and other vulnerable folk there are concerned that the inevitable flood of displaced residents without shelter should the city close Ross Camp will lead to dramatically increased vulnerability to assault, theft, and rape, as well as deny them the current protection of nearby neighbors, a de facto community, and focus for friendly community support. And by neighbors, I mean the neighbors in the camp. And perhaps some neighbors nearby, though many of them are not friendly. In terms of food and resources, which can be brought by community members who are friendly and have a place to bring it to. But if people are spread all over the city, of course, they have no place to do that. They are also concerned, the women are, that about the growing climate of violent hostility towards those outside by some vigilante individuals and groups in Santa Cruz. And while people can be a focus of target of hostility at the camp, they also have more means for defending themselves there than they do when they're isolated and alone. For the rest of the show, we are going to have a bit of a flashback from May 13th, 1996. Lots of archives on the Huff website if you want to find them. And I think it's important historically to have those kinds of archives because it preserves a lot of voices that are never really listened to at the time and are forgotten historically, but that were there at the time, were as important as other people's voices, and were coming from the mouths of the actual people who were experiencing what was going on outside. So this is a way of adding to that archive as well as putting it out now, 23 years later. What you're going to be hearing is a report from activist BD of Refuse and Resist, David Dumar, as he was also known as, which is an organization that was supporting the City Hall Sleepers vigil, lasted for 8.5 months in the 1996, in front of City Hall, day and night, continuous. Bobby Joyce of the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness, an organization that still exists, puts out a publication called Street Sheet, and he talks about issues in San Francisco. And you'll hear about the shelter programs that they had back then from Ron Howard, who was either the director of or involved with the so-called Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. And then there is me talking a lot about the actual specific issues. My own trial had, my own court hearing was coming up in San Francisco in a final appeal to the judge to a sentencing hearing where ultimately I was sentenced to 2 months in jail in San Francisco for violating a court order that is still, as far as I know, it may still be in place in San Francisco that bans food nut bombs from serving food, but they keep serving it anyway, which is what food nut bombs does throughout the world and throughout the country, according to Keith McHenry, as you may have heard earlier in his own interview. So there's a lot of kind of coverage of what was going on in May of 1996, which may seem kind of secondary and irrelevant and old history, old news, yesterday's stuff, and it is, of course. But it also, I think it's important as a kind of a background to where we are today and may give us some lessons on what to do today, or what not to do, or what has been done and what needs to be done again. Anyway, thanks for listening to this, or as much of it as you have. And if you want to get involved, you can get involved by giving a call to the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Back again at you on Thursday at 6 with another show. There's also a Huff meeting after the Conscience in Action meeting at 11, which you're also invited to if you're interested in these issues, at the Sub Rosa Cafe on Wednesday, which would be, I guess, May 1st. That's coming up in 4 days, or 3 days, or whatever it is, this week. And there's a special city council meeting on Thursday at 4:30, but it's only for it's a closed session, which has a brief open interval. I think it's about police contracts and raising the salaries or addressing police department issues, which, well, all people who are working should obviously get a fair and decent wage and decent working conditions. I don't have a lot of sympathy with policing as it's currently organized, run, and with its lack of accessibility and transparency and its militarization in Santa Cruz and elsewhere and its focus on class warfare, with the wrong class being the employing party of the police. But I think anyone who is working has rights, should be decently paid, and that's apparently what the Santa Cruz Police Department is trying to do for itself, which is quite understandable. Thanks for listening. Give me a call if you have any reports from the street. Leave me a message if I'm not here. And check out the Ross Camp, and see, because we're going to need support, particularly on Monday, particularly if the TRO is dissolved, I guess is the right word, and the camp dispersed.